This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you for joining the IDN Guidelines Working Group call. It's 7th of September 2017. We have Mats, Dennis, Carl, Pitinan, and Sarmad on the call. Over to you, Mats.
Thank you. Yes, I only made a few comments in this document. I think that Carl has made most comments and changes to it. Let us go answer by answer and see if there is anything to discuss.
Just FYI, Edmund has also joined us.
Welcome, Edmund. First, we have our analysis on CLI 1. I have made a comment there because we're referring to something authoritative in the zone, and the delegation is not. So we have to rework that. Does that have an effect on our guidelines too? Samad, please.
Just as an FYI at this time, from what I understand, ESSAC is actually working on a response to the query which was sent by IDN Guidelines Working Group. If all goes through as being planned, they will actually publish an advisory in response to this in next 1 to 2 weeks. That's what my information is, in which they will actually provide a detailed response to this and also share some language on for recommendations. Thank you.
Do you know what direction they point at?
They're still discussing it, so I'm not really sure how they will finalize it.
Okay.
But we're expecting to get back from them in 10 days or so.
Yeah. So if they come to the conclusion that any record that we that are put in the zone must meet the IDNA 2008 specification, then we should rework our recommendation and this answer in that direction. If not, if they only consider the delegation, then we should not refer to the authoritative data in the zone. Samad, please.
Right. Thinking about the posting date for this, so we were intending to post this on 11th of September, which means that we may not actually see that report come out. So the way I had actually worded this was a bit general, which can still go forward as far as publication of response is concerned, and then we can incorporate their feedback in the actual document as far as guidelines are concerned. So we can change this response to say that we've reached out to other community members to get further guidance or something like that, if that is what you would prefer. But in case if you think we wait for them, that it means that this document gets delayed further for another couple of weeks at least, which is also fine in case you think that is important enough. But I think that may be something you all want to discuss and then let us know how you'd like to proceed with this. Thank you.
Edmund, please.
Yeah, this is Edmund. I don't think we need to wait. I think we kind of did our job. We forwarded the comment, and I guess it sparked some discussion at ESSEC, and they're going to publish something. But as far as on the comments is concerned, that is what we did, right? I mean, we considered it, and then we had some ideas, but we're in this and other parts, we were saying we're kind of seeking further input from ESSEC, and I think that's good enough for this particular report.
Right, but we cannot say that the guidelines are currently referring to those that are authoritative in the zone, because the NS records that we actually have guidelines on, the owner name of the NS records, they are not authoritative in the TLD zone. So we need some other language there. So Matt, please.
Right. So I think at least I see there are two different items here. One item is that when we're referring to a label, are we referring to authoritative label or non-authoritative labels as well? And then there is a separate question about whether the non-authoritative labels should also comply with IDNA 2008, for example. So the first response is saying is that when we generally talk about something, we are talking about authoritative labels by default, and I think what the comment is saying is that when we will talk about non-authoritative data, we will explicitly call it out. So it's just clarifying that first point. And so that does not preclude that we cannot talk about non-authoritative data, or we can obviously, but we will just call it out when we do. The second point obviously is more general, where it says that, you know, we are considering that response on whether non-authoritative data should actually comply with any particular standards, and based on that we will finalize our guideline, which obviously is going to be based on what ESSEC recommends to us, and then obviously any subsequent discussions here. Thank you.
Thank you. Carl?
I think we might be talking about different things. The TLD zone file, when you're referring to a domain name that's being delegated, that is not authoritative. So even if we're domain names that are inside the registry that these IDM guidelines would apply to, when they enter the TLD zone file, they are not authoritative. So that particular statement is technically incorrect, the one that's highlighted and says those which are authoritative in the zone. We will need to come up with a different way of separating the label that's being delegated, I guess the zone cut, and the hosts which address that, or which are to which it's delegated to. It wouldn't be based on authoritative, it would be based on, because it's not a DNS thing that we're doing, it's actually a registration and use restriction that we're applying. It's a different criteria. So we should avoid using DNS phrases in this particular response, because we're not using DNS values to decide whether or not these guidelines apply to it. Hopefully that makes sense.
Thank you, Carl. That is what I'm trying to say. And actually, in the guidelines, the only thing that we deal with are the registrations. We haven't said anything about other DNS records that the registry operator, if I may use that term, may add into the zone. We only talk about the registration and the name that is delegated from the TLD. And the question is the names of the name servers that the registrant wants to use, if the names of those should also be restricted in some way. And as far we have not discussed that in the guidelines. So I think the answer should be in those terms. Carl, please.
I agree pretty much with that statement. I was just going to add that because a registrant can delegate to a name server outside the TLD within which their domain name is registered, we're not really in a position, and because we're focused very much on per TLD guidelines, not really within the scope of these guidelines to apply those kinds of restrictions. If the ESAC were to provide some advice, I think we could always take that and apply that in the IDN guidelines if and when we receive it. But I think the response should basically be that we're focused on the delegation of domain names only and not on domain names that are outside the TLD. I guess ultimately they're still domain names in ATLD somewhere, but it's kind of irrelevant as far as the guidelines are concerned.
I mean, the names of the names might be under the name delegated, and that can have a broader acceptance of characters than the TLD zone. So the only acceptable restriction, I think, for the name server names would be that they don't break the IDNA 2008 restrictions, the strict IDNA 2008. Further than that, I don't think that we could go. Yes, Samara asks, could we suggest some alternate language? Do you want that now?
It's okay to do that offline as well, I think, but I think it would be useful if you could suggest some language we can put in here.
Right. I'll suggest some language on both CLI 1 and 2. And I expect Carl to promptly comment on that, and everyone else, but especially Carl, since you understand what I meant. So anyone wants to Edmund? Dennis? Any comments? Okay. CLI 2 has the same problem, so we go to further down. We are on the OX1 and OX2, and Government of India, Government 1 to 4. Here we are forward referring. Should we keep that forward referring there, or should we remove the reference to Government of India 1 to 4 here? Samad, please.
Right. So I'd actually not change the structure. We documented the discussion in the summary from last meeting, but I've not changed the structure because I was thinking that we confirm that with public comment team once we're really done with the whole thing and ready to publish. There may actually be a reason that we will have to take all this out to the next section. And if that's the case, then we would not need to change things around. But in case it is possible to keep this particular format, then of course it's what we decided was that we would do a placeholder here and actually put the comment with the last last comment. So this will move down. So I'll adjust that accordingly as we decided once we're actually done and share the document as far as reformatting is concerned once again with all of you before we post it. But I just left it to the end until we've actually completed the review. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's of course possible to have upward reference too. So we could remove the Government of India 1 to 4 and keep the answer here. And then when we come to Government of India, refer to this response. That's another possibility. But okay, just as long as we don't forget that problem in this structure. Any comments on the text as it is now? With the updates, are these updates by call or updates that refer to the done by so the updates by call?
No, so the red ones are updates by me. Most of them are basically
okay.
Changing the tense based on last conversation where we wanted to do it in a present tense or future tense rather than a perfect tense. So I've changed those and then made any other edits which were discussed. Carl's comments are down, further down, and they're in light blue, not in red. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone want to comment this? I mean, it looks fine. Can we go to next? Dennis is typing. Fine. Okay. So we can barely have the same time. This is OX3 analysis. Maybe I can shrink a little bit. Is it still fine for you to read? Okay, let's move up IAB. Also a tense change. Does anyone have any comments on the analysis parts that we see now down to IAB4? Okay. Then we move. So IAB5 refers to IAB3. Okay. Here's a new answer that was added. We will lift it up that the government of India actually included confusion within the asset. Any comments? I scroll up. Any comments on this page? I hear nothing. I take that as okay. You want to say something, Carl, about the additions that you have made? Are they, did we discuss in those details?
Yes, thank you, Matt.
Paul, do you want to comment?
I don't think there's much to say about them. We spoke about it last week, and really the idea is to emphasize that it's, in the introduction, we also said that it's a best practice guide as well as focusing on confusability and cyber squatting, and that the benefits of RFC 7994 format fall very much within the scope of a best practice guide. So it's appropriate to include it, and that was. And we'll see if people object, if they feel that we should narrow the scope, then that can be discussed in the future.
I think it looks good. Well, let's scroll down. If no one has any comments.
So for we completed RYSG-6 last time. So RYSG-7 onwards, we still need to discuss and finalize.
Okay. So let's move a little bit slower here. RYSG-7, it's suggested that guideline 9, that for guideline 9, the definition of stability is too broad and too open for the interpretation of IDN guidelines. The relevant standards should be only standard track or best current practice RFCs by ITF. Okay, so we say that the working group does not intend to define the term security or stability. It is the reference, if it is deleting the reference to the definition provided that were reused from the security service evaluation policy of the GTLDs. and we'll be using these terms without an explicit definition, with the intention that the relevant applicable definitions will be inherited from the existing arrangements, e.g. from the respective contracts for the GTLDs. Does anyone have any comments on that? Carl, is your comment, last comment, I like our response, is that on this one? Yes. Okay. So, can we take that? Okay. So we'll go to next. RYSG8, this term, same registrant should be defined in guideline 12. So here we have the answer, the wording will be updated to same registrant as the primary IDN label to make it clearer. Well, couldn't we have a situation where the primary label is an ASCII label? And the variants being IDM labels? So maybe we should remove IDM there. Carl?
I think in this context it probably doesn't matter. We could remove IDN, but that may make it even more confusing to the reader because in this context we're always referring to a label that will have variants. So it's in the context where a table exists that is that has ASCII labels, which are variants. And I understand that that's not strictly an IDN label, but the alternative is to say the primary, just the primary label, which might not be clear enough. So I actually don't mind leaving it as IDN, even if, bearing in mind that this is not going into the guidelines, so it's simply a response to the registry stakeholder group, and I think context is quite important for that group because they may not read thoroughly everything that we say.
But this quote is meant to go directly into the guidelines. I mean, it might be okay to have this, ambiguity in the guidelines that we refer to IDM label when it in fact could be an ASCII label. In most cases not, but it could be, at least in theory. So we might want to overlook that possibility and keep it as the IDN label. Maybe that's less confusing. And there's a question, isn't primary IDN label a defined term by Dennis? In the chat, I don't remember from the top of my head. It might be. Well, it probably is.
It's defined in our document, and I just wrote the definition down as well.
Right. Well, strictly, we could have a situation where someone registers an ASCII label and gets variants as IDN labels. But I'm not sure if we care about that or not. We might overlook that. So, any opinion? Should we just ignore that complexity? I don't get a yes. I don't get a no. Does anyone have an opinion? Carl? Yeah, okay, so let's ignore it. RST9, a separate information is being added asking the register operator to publish the allocation activation policy public website. That's good. Any comments on that?
Sarmad, I'd like to make a comment.
Yes, please.
Okay, so just to, I think, bring out a finer point here, the original RYSG guideline is asking for a variant activation policy statement, and what we are suggesting is a variant allocation and activation policy statement. So basically what we are saying is whatever the variant allocation and activation policy is, it should be publicly posted. So that's a slightly wider ask than what RYSG was suggesting, just pointing that out. So we have actually recommendations, one which says that variants must be allocated to the same person or registrant, and the second one is on automatic activation. And basically, our recommendation is requesting all the policy around both these statements, I guess, to be published, but not just on the second one. Thank you.
Maybe in the response, we should limit to the variant activation policy, because that's what they're asking for. And if we want to comment about the allocation, and maybe we should point that out, that we have also decided to require allocation policy to be included. Otherwise, it looks kind of strange that we are responding to something else. I mean, if we make changes, we add things. So I think we should only say that the publish the activation policy and remove allocation and. That's my suggestion. Have a short answer. Anyone for, anyone against? Nobody for, nobody against. Okay. I'm for. So let's remove allocation and we doesn't mean that we change the text guidelines. We require the allocation policy too. Okay, Samad?
Okay. Sure. Noted. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. And then number 10. Yes, if they have the old version and compare with the new, they can see that things have changed. And so, right. So, I think 10 is fine. Eleven looks fine to me. And 12, it's fine to me that we move that. And 13 looks fine too. And that's the end, I guess. It's just a placeholder. So I'm just a few changes. The big one being CLI 1 and 2. I will compose some text after the meeting and send it to the mailing list. And please, the rest of you, say if you're fine with that text or suggest updates. So, Mark, please.
Right. Just to note, as I said earlier, we are tentatively publishing this on 11th of September. So, can we just maybe discuss some timelines on when you would like this to be sent out as a final call and when we could all finalize this over email so that we can move on and publish it.
Okay, today it's Thursday, and the 11th is on Monday. So at least it's Thursday for me. You get my suggestion later on today. If Edmund, Dennis, and Carl have the possibility of looking at my proposal in a few hours or a quarter of a day, like 6 hours, 12 hours, within 12 hours, we could have a final version when? On month?
Well, as soon as you all finalize the review of the original recommendation, the first one and the second one, I can put that together and circulate the final version. I could, if it's done by tomorrow, I can circulate certainly by tomorrow. If it's not finalized by tomorrow, I can, and if it's finalized tomorrow, I can do that on Saturday. But then that won't leave time, at least for Dennis, to review on Monday, because by the time, well, I guess we could request this to be posted in the, well, yeah, that makes it a little tricky. So ideally, it would be best if we can finalize this by today or tomorrow early morning, and I circulate a version tomorrow, and everybody has a chance to look at it on Friday and over the weekend, and we send it in on Monday.
Okay. So it looks like it'll take 20, 24 hours before everyone has had a chance to look at it. But hopefully we can finalize things within 48 hours. And then it would be, I mean, it's not that much. So hopefully then we can complete it by Monday. Carl, you will get your sleep before you read. I don't know what time it is now for you. In the middle of the night, I think. 10 p.m. Okay. Yes. Okay. So I don't think we have more to say about the report there. I read the last draft of the guidelines that I had, and added some comments. Should we look at those? Maybe some of them can be ignored by some other updates. I think it was the last version. Can you confirm, someone?
Yeah, so I'm just uploading it now.
Thank you. Has anyone looked at it? I mean, I sent it just a few hours ago, so I don't expect you to have had a chance to look at it. Right. We do have some. I don't know. We talked about using Google Docs for completing the answers. We never did. maybe it would be too much work to move the guidelines for the final touch on Google Docs and just continue to work as we've done. Well, Samad, please.
Right. So I checked internally, and I guess at least from my perspective, I cannot create a document on Google Docs, which is IGAN Business, and without, you know, using the IGAN.org account. And if I do that, I cannot share it with anybody who doesn't have an IGAN.org account. So there's no mechanism for me to create it and share it with any, I guess, community members outside the, you know, generally community members. So that's why that document was not created. I could create it using my personal address, okay, but the ICANN policy does not allow that.
No, of course not. And so the only possibility would be if some of the members, working group members, created the document on Google Docs.
Yes, that would be the only possibility.
Right. So let's continue to work in this way. there's an old comment here on the introduction. To add a scope subsection in the guidelines. That labels not directly registered are out of scope to address the comment from Nick Seeley. And actually, this kind of also is an answer to the other OX, wasn't them? The CLI? Oh, that's the Chile, yes. Right. So, here's something to create. Inclusion of definition should will be revisited. So those two are needed. My comments that I saw, or the comments that I made, in number 3, the expected registration themselves, however, are not part of this documentation. I don't understand this. Does anyone have an interpretation of what it means? Yes, Salman, please.
Right. So basically, I think what is being said here, or what was attempted, was that the registrations which are existing already are, you know, in a way not, you know, this is not applicable to those or something to that effect. I'm just reading the whole text, but the accepted registrations means, as Dennis also pointed out, those registrations which are already exist before the publishing of these guidelines.
On the other hand, we talk about that registrations not meeting IDNA 2008 should be removed, further down. So it kind of contradicts that. And also mentions at the end of the transition period what that is. code points that are prohibited by IDNR 2008 must not be permitted even by exception. Dennis, Carl says yes, and Dennis says no. So could any one of you please speak out and explain? Dennis? What do you mean by no?
I was actually agreeing with Dennis earlier.
Yeah, thank you, Carl.
My comment was in agreement to Dennis.
Dennis, please.
Yeah, so I was saying no to your assertion that we are stating that existing registrations that do not comply with IDNA 2008 or the new guidelines have to be removed. We don't say that, and we are not suggesting that in anywhere. So I would be curious to know where your where you think that is in the guidelines.
How do you interpret the next sentence?
At the end of the transitional period, code points that are prohibited by IDNA must not be permitted even by exception?
Yes.
Yeah, that cannot be registered, but could be renewed.
And if we scroll down to number 5.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The registrant of a domain name that is not supported by IDNA 2008 should be notified that there may be unanticipated consequence for user attempting to reach it, and such domain names should be replaced, held, or deleted by a deleted at register initiative.
Correct, and I'm fine with that. Yes, we should alert, and the registrants of those names are no longer IDNA 2008 valid, that there's going to be, at some point in time, those domain names may not work, so they are encouraged to replace it or change it or do something. And registries have their discretion. They can do something, right, to maybe accelerate that transition. But
yeah,
it's up to the registry to define what they are going to do with those names.
Okay. Okay. So I don't think it's correct that that we don't deal with registrations, the something before something. We deal with all registrations in the text. So I don't think that the sentence in number 3 is compliant with other sentences in this guideline, in the guidelines.
I would ask you to elaborate a little bit more. Well, why do you think at this point in time that you're not comfortable with what we already have reviewed several times, but we're running short in time, so I don't know how do we stretch for another 10 minutes, or do we pause here and continue the discussion on the mailing list. I defer to you for next steps at this point.
Right. We are we're at the top of the hour. Right, we're at the top of the hour. I will let Edmund and Carl comment. My point is that there are conflicts within the guidelines and we should resolve those. It's not a question of what we should do. It's a question of conflicts. Edmund, please.
Thank you. I'll be pretty brief. I think this needs to be brought up again in our next call, but I actually agree with Dennis. I don't think there is a full conflict. Maybe in your mind there's a different interpretation on some of the words, and we probably should just need to quote those words, and I think we should get back on the same page.
Carl?
Yeah, I was going to say something similar. We should talk about this next week. I made some comments in modifying Section 5 as they related to these earlier items as well. So I think, in particular, I was suggesting that we combine some of the text relating to both the transition and accepted domains. So maybe next week we look at the collected guidelines rather than in isolation.
Fine. We are at the top of the hour, 1 minute beyond. So let's stop there. And the next couple of days we focus on the answers, and then next week we should probably go back to the guidelines to finalize those. Okay. Anyone want to say something, some final word? Salman?
Yes, just, raising the possibility that if we can finalize the guidelines and possibly release them for public comment before ICANN 60, if that's a reasonable goal to work towards. Thank you.
So when do we have to publish it for comments, if we should do that? Just before? Is that fine, or some weeks before?
I would suggest we should probably do it no later than 15th of October.
Okay. Thank you. Let's continue next week. Thank you very much for attending.
Thank you.
Here for you in email. And goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye.